You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we are going to talk about PANS and its impacts on marriage. Jody, this is going to be you giving people lots of feedback and me jumping in where I can to give like things that I've heard from other people, but you're the one with the lived experience. So, yeah. I mean, where should we even start? It's a big topic.
Marriage in general, right? Before, like, yeah. Not even dealing with PANS whatsoever, but I think marriage in general is just, it's a hard thing. It's a complex relationship, and there's lots of ebbs and flows and lots of great stuff, lots of hard stuff. Doing life with another person that closely, that intimately, lots of great times, but also, you know, there's struggle in it already before PANS even comes along.
Yeah. They're struggling it before you add children and then there's struggle because you've got differences of opinion on how to raise children. And then you bring in PANS and you add a whole nother level of complexity, and the levels of complexity when you bring in PANS can be vast. Let's just talk about that really quickly and acknowledge that up front. So like the levels of complexity that come in once you add something like PANS can be, is this even really what's happening? It can be the kids, because with PANS kids, sometimes they can be aware of what's going on. And at certain points in the earlier stages of their progression of their condition, they can have more control over what they're experiencing. And so sometimes one parent will see it and not the other parent, or in certain circumstances, they'll have more control and like just let it all out in front of the person they're most comfortable with, which might be mom or it might be dad. Does this even exist? Is this even what's going on? Then there's the, what do we do to treat it? And the fact that so many things in PANS currently, hopefully by the time that, you know, hopefully like if people listen to this 5-10 years after recording, that we will have changed it substantially and this will be completely outdated, but so much of what goes into PANS treatment is just not covered by insurance. And so then there's all of the questions about what to do, out-of-pocket care. And then there's a whole lot of things that are really, really helpful for PANS and that are like the only thing in some cases that is helpful for PANS that are not in the like general lexicon for medical treatments. And so then it just creates a whole another place to have disparities in what you're thinking. And then also, of course, there's the questions of like, well, how much of this is a disciplinary thing and how much of this is a behavior, you know, behavioral thing, and how much of it is inflammation, and trying to figure all those things out. So, I mean, there's just like a lot. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about all of those aspects of things. So,
yeah, there is a lot. There was a lot. And then you just listed all that. And I was like, oh, gosh, there's even more than I'm thinking about. I think for my husband and I think this is worth saying too, that I know so many of us go through, we were living in mold when all of this kicked off. So it wasn't just about our struggling as parents or us struggling with PANS. It was about us struggling in our own illnesses at the same time. And same, I think, could probably be if, you know, family members are passing around illness after illness. We were in our own struggles, and then PANS came along, and we slowly went into different struggles, and very slowly over time, this wall got a little bit taller and a little bit taller and a little bit taller. And it was all of those things that were building that wall between us being able to communicate. And, it was like, we just went to, I don't know if unhealthy word is the right thing to say, but right whenever Avery's onset happened, just like you said, I was seeing things that my husband wasn't seeing. He was at work more frequently, on shift work. So he was gone for 24-hour shifts. And there was things that Avery was doing that she would do in front of me, but not in front of him. And he's a fun guy. Like, he's the director of entertainment in our house. So when dad's around, everybody's having fun, everybody's having a good time. And so that's what Avery was ready for. Like, she would have a really hard 24 hours and dad would come home and it's like, woo, like time to let your hair down and party and have a good time with dad. And so the very beginning of it was, you know, me being upset because I felt like I was being questioned on whether the things were actually happening. And that's what was happening. And I think anyone, like if he were to come to me and claim that one of our kids was doing some of the things that Avery was doing at the time, I would be like, are you over-exaggerating? Like, are you okay? Do you need a break? All that type stuff. So it started with that. And then we finally got to the point, there was a lot of that. It took quite a while till we got to the point where my husband was like, okay, something's wrong here. And it's just, I think that the way that we as moms respond to anything that is traumatic that happens to our children is just very different than the way a man responds. I think for my husband and his specific job, he wanted to be able to fix it because that's what he does. He fixes people. He helps people. And him not being able to do that with Avery sent him into a place of frustration and anger and despair in a different way that it did me. I went, you know, a little bit different direction, but again, we were going separate directions and that wall just kept getting higher and higher. And then once we finally figured out that it was PANS and we, you know, started to seek treatment, we were so relieved. And that was almost like a breather for our marriage for a second. We were like, whew, yeah, we've got it figured out. We're okay. Let's go find treatment. And so we jump into finding treatment and kind of disappointment after disappointment. And we keep getting like just knocked back down to just sadness and trauma as Avery's getting worse and we're managing more symptoms. And how, my gosh, probably the worst thing was how to discipline what was going on, because we were learning at the time that there was this fine line between managing symptoms and also trying to raise a good child and do all the things that we had done before PANS. And I think looking back, I think one of the best things that we did was we got to the point where we realized that the rules that apply to parenting and raising a child don't apply when you have a PANS kid. Like, obviously you keep trying to raise the best kid you can, but all the fights that we were having about disciplining and, you know, you're not doing this or you're not doing that, this is how you're not helping. At some point that just kind of went out the window and it wasn't a conversation anymore. And that almost kind of gave us some relief in our marriage because we weren't arguing about that. But at the same time, I was doing all the things, right? Because there's so many different treatment modalities. And I was going from one to the next, trying to figure out how to help Avery. And that became an argument too, because it's like, oh, here we go. This is the next thing. But then it also became a financial for my family. At the time, we were a one income family. And it was very, very straining financially. And that came primarily on my husband's shoulders. Like, he's the one that carried us through that financially. And so again, that was another layer of stress and arguing and trying to navigate paying all of our other bills while we're trying to do this. And there was just so many, and it didn't stop when we got to homeopathy, because my husband was very, very against homeopathy. And in the beginning was like, all right, you got like 3 or 4 months. Let's see what homeopathy can do. And then if it doesn't work, we're out of there. And at the time I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, well, we can do that. And luckily we had a little bit of homeopathy magic in the beginning where we saw some significant shifting, but there was.
But nobody is going to have resolution in 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, no. It was tiny little like whoa, we aren't doing anything else. And holy cow, we just had 3 days without rage. It was small stuff, but it was enough for him to be like, nothing else had moved that. So I think that if we were to do it all over again, of course, knowing everything I know now, I would have saved all of that negative energy that I had towards my husband and put it towards healing Avery. I was really frustrated with my husband going through all of that, because I think a lot of us moms feel kind of lonely in what we're doing. But then looking back, I also realized that my husband also felt really lonely in what he was doing. And also, I think that, and I always talk about, you know, the whole family healing together. My husband and I both had things that we needed to heal from, things from our childhood, things from our adulthood, things that we probably should have worked on before PANS ever came along. And working on our own healing through with homeopathy has helped us work through so many things. My husband was frustrated and angry. My husband just needed to heal. He came around in a big, huge way, and homeopathy has done some amazing things, completely amazing things for him. But I don't think that there's nothing that can prepare you for losing your child, and nothing that it's literally that PANS is like nothing that we've ever done before. And there's nobody can tell you how to do it, because everything is specific to what your child needs, what your family needs, finding support. I wish that we would have done some counseling through it. I wish everyone would have been in counseling. That would have helped significantly, because we were all just stuck in this trauma. And I think even after Avery got better, I think we were, and this is why I'm so glad that we started homeopathy, we were not okay for multiple years, because we were just stuck in this space of being devastated for years. And even, you know, with little sister's health stuff too, we were just stuck in this trauma space. And even our like responses to everything, man, PANS did a number on us and our marriage. But I will say that, like I give homeopathy so much credit, because I feel very certain that homeopathy saved our marriage, because it allowed, number one, it allowed Avery to heal and my younger daughter to heal, and gave us the time and space to be able to figure out who we were after all of this, and the ability to reconnect with each other, and you know, just the ability to live life normally and grow kind of into our new life that we have. So I'm super, super grateful for homeopathy for pretty much saving my marriage.
Well, let's not just give homeopathy the credit. Like PANS actually itself deserves a little bit of credit. And I think that that's something that it's important for us to acknowledge. So as somebody who likely would have gotten the diagnosis of PANS had I been born 20 years later than I was, I can acknowledge that there are a lot of really hard things that that experience brought to my life, but some really amazing and important things that it brought to my life too. And so with every hardship, there is the opportunity for amazing growth and amazing connection because of the hardship that you've been through. And so, yes, I think homeopathy helped you guys to heal in a way that you could connect with each other in a way that you hadn't even connected prior to PANS. Yeah. But that you wouldn't have had that opportunity were it not for PANS itself and the things that you went through, and to be able to look back and say, oh my gosh, we're still together and we still like each other after going through all of that, can also just show the strength of your connection. And so I think that in some ways, PANS itself can actually bring some gifts to marriages, including the ability that once PANS starts to like unleash its grip on you, that you get greater opportunity to enjoy the small things that we all say we want to enjoy, but that we're so easy to just look past and focus on whatever's on our screen or whatever the next thing is that we're doing that we can't stay present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And PANS and coming out of PANS gives you so many opportunities to be present and experience those little things that really do make a big difference.
Yeah. I don't know why it's still so hard for me to talk about that particular thing. I think I still, I still have this space in my heart that feels guilty about talking about this, because I know so many families are still struggling, but I would not change a thing, not one single thing. Our lives are so much greater because of PANS. All the struggle we went through, every single ounce of it, every single one of us is completely different. Avery included, even though she doesn't really remember a whole lot of it, thank goodness, thank you, homeopathy. We were all so impacted, and who we are as humans is completely different than it was before. The way that we enjoy life, and not just like, woo, like every single day is a party, just little teeny tiny moments all of the time, like almost daily, that I am so, so grateful for, that both of us are so grateful for, that we have the ability to do that and enjoy that. And PANS was a good thing for my family. PANS was a good thing for my marriage, just like you're saying.
Yeah. So let's wrap up this episode with any little bits of advice that you might have for parents that are going through this, that are maybe finding that they're struggling to connect in their marriage. I want to say really quickly before you dive in, because you've already mentioned counseling, so I assume that counseling is potentially going to come up. One, I know that counseling is not accessible to everybody because there's a mental health crisis and a mental health shortage, provider shortage in the country. And not everybody has access to insurance or has the funds to pay out of pocket. So everything that we're talking about is, we understand that there are limitations in what your access is. And so maybe we'll try and come up with some things that could be done if you don't have the resources to access some of these things. The other thing I do want to acknowledge is that you said you wish everybody had done counseling together like early on. But the reality is, I think that, just to be really clear, and I'm reading your mind, Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, you would want your whole family to do counseling when there's enough healing that has occurred that your daughters would have been able to do it. Because the reality is, like, you can't out therapy inflammation of the brain. You can't out therapy, like, if therapy is not going to make a tick go away that's caused by inflammation, it's not going to make behavioral things or more rational thought come into place or cognitive improvements when it's caused by inflammation. The inflammation and the misdirected immune response that's happening in the body as a result of PANS, or that causes PANS, is the that has to be addressed so that there's even a chance that something like counseling or talk therapy is going to be effective, because you've got to put out that fire first before you can talk your way through things and have more rational thought.
Yeah, you're totally right. I wish I would have started my girls very soon after Avery was healed, because before that, you're totally right, she wasn't ready. In fact, we even tried it and didn't work out, because it was PANS. It wasn't, like you said, something that could be therapied away. My husband and I, for sure, I wish we would have, we needed to start therapy before PANS even happened, but I wish we would have gone through. I think as far as making it through together, and any advice that I would have for somebody or a couple that's still going through it now, is the best thing. I feel like the best thing that I did in it was to give grace all of the time. Mm-hmm. And whenever I started giving my husband and myself grace, things got a little bit lighter. When I accepted the fact that the things that I was worried about, my husband wasn't necessarily worried about the exact same things. It didn't mean he wasn't worried about things or he didn't care. For a long time, I was for sure that he just didn't care. Wasn't even really checked into it. He was worried. He was experiencing it in his own way. And the things that he was worried about were a little bit different than what I was worried about. But ultimately, we were concerned about the same thing and our goals were the same. But we spent a lot of time bumping heads on it because we weren't giving each other grace and we weren't, I was just frustrated with him a lot. And yeah, he was frustrated with me. And it's hard not to do that. And I think, like I said in the very beginning, one of the best things that we did was put down the rules and stop worrying about what our family, our friends, society, whatever thought about us in those moments, because it just had to be different when Avery was sick. It was kind of him and I on an island getting her better. And of course, whenever we started homeopathy and started healing ourselves, everything did get better. So,
yeah. So your biggest advice is to get counseling if it's accessible and available to you in whatever form is that works for you, whether it's with a religious person, a therapist, or in some other format. And then to give each other grace because you're both suffering, even if you're suffering in different ways, and just because the other person doesn't necessarily recognize what it is that you are saying or doing doesn't mean that they're not, like, that you guys are both. It's like the dialectical thinking, where you can be standing at the tail of a 9 and somebody's standing at the head of it, but to them it looks like a 6, while to you it looks like a 9, and you're both looking at the same thing, you just have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So all of those things. And then what was the last one that you had said?
Oh, rules being different, like dropping the expectations of the world and the rules and all that.
Yeah. So making sure that you just embrace that you get to make up your own rules for what is important to your family and what your family does and how things go from day to day.
And I also think one last thing too. I also think that once you get to a certain point in healing, I think both husband and wife have to make a choice to drop resentment. It's really hard to get through pans without having resentment. And I think that you have to decide to let go of the resentment, which I feel like both my husband and I did, and set it down and move forward. And that was a conscious effort that we both made. And then also had to both practice, leaving the past in the past.
So if you are not a member of our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, there will be a link in the show notes for it. We highly recommend that you join if you're struggling with any family type of things, for a couple of videos in particular. So there are a handful of videos that were done with me interviewing husbands, because we get a lot of the mom perspective, but we had a couple of husbands who agreed to come on and be interviewed by themselves. And then a couple of times we've had some couples, including Jody and her husband, came on together a couple of times to interview, to talk about the ways that PANS impacted the family and how they came to homeopathy in particular, and just navigating PANS as a whole. And so those can be really, really useful videos to check out if you're finding places where you might be struggling to see each other's perspective, so that you can get some insights to a couple of other couples and how they might have had some similar challenges and ways that they were able to to come to a place that they could figure it out. And I'll tell you that a lot of these couples they started off in this great place. They ended in a great place because they were willing to talk about it, but they didn't start in a great place. And they were pretty open in sharing. So join our group if you are somebody who suspects that your child has PANS or PANDAS, and especially if you want to check out those videos. Those are only available in our Facebook group. And then next week, we are going to talk about the individual, because the reality is that every person in the marriage, like the marriage is made up of two individuals, and each individual has their own struggles with how they relate to PANS and how their own mental health is. So join us next week to talk about the individual struggles with mental health, PANS overwhelm, feelings of isolation, and all the things that can really come with being a PANS parent. So until next time, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.